So welcome to Village Church. So usually up here I would have my co-pastor with me, Pastor Cody Brenn, not my husband. My husband was playing the box drum today so well. So yeah, he's pretty cute. So I have a couple of announcements. Is that a Sam that did that? That was good. I have a couple announcements for you. So number one, I got a text from our children's ministry director, Jessica Brenn. She said for Village Kids Ministry, there is a new check-in system. So safety is one of our top priorities over there. As you probably know, you might get yelled at if you cross the line or whatever. But all that to say, they have a new check-in system to make that process more streamlined, a little safer. So just they'll explain it to you as you go over there, and I'm sure we'll get used to it as we go. Also, you'll notice in your bulletin we have these envelopes stuck in there. So that is if you want to respond to God with your giving. So here at Village Church, generosity is one of our six core values, and I love it. We've just seen a spirit of generosity unleashed in our church, helping our community, people in need. We have, I think, over 100 kids, if they all came, in our Village Kids Ministry, pouring into them. And so generosity is important to take the mission of God and make it tangible. So if you want to respond to God with your giving during the response time in worship, you can do that at one of our giving stations. We have two on the side and one in the back. You can just get up at any time. That's also a great place to put your information card. So if you want to be on our email list or have a prayer request or anything like that, we would love to hear from you. So you can put those in there as well. One thing I want to highlight for you also, someone used it this week for the first time. We have an app. I don't know if you know that. It has our calendar on there. It has all of our messages. You can download that for free. And on there is a prayer request submission section. So if you're going through the weeks, we had someone, I think 2 weeks ago or so, was going through the week, going through something, clicked on that, typed their prayer request, and I'll tell you, I was with Pastor Cody when that came in, and we prayed right there. So you will get prayer for that. So we have a couple things to do before we get into our sermon this morning. So I'm actually going to invite Cole and Angela up, and I do have a microphone for them. Sam has it. Come on up, guys. This is Cole and Angela Hunter. They're going to explain their story a little bit for you. All right, tell us what's going on, guys.
All right, guys. Well, like I said, a couple months ago, we stood before you and we were talking about how we believe God had called us to plant the next church in Claddon Farms. And when we stood up here, we genuinely believed that. We told everybody that we knew, including my chain of command, my folks, the church, anybody and everybody. We put everything that we owned into a storage facility and watched it drive away. And as of May, our house was this close to closing, as in 24 hours from closing, when mm-hmm. we got a call from our realtor that said, I hate to do this to you, but we're not going to be able to close, and it's probably going to be about a month and a half before we can even legitimately consider this. You guys may want to consider relisting your house. Okay, bad news, but one thing Cody and Ashley told me a long time ago is if it's God's will, it's God's bill. He'll figure it out.
Yep.
So, you know, we were distraught. We were upset, but we said, you know, we're going to press on. A week later, got a phone call from our lender who told us, we're going to give you an updated loan estimate. And we saw this giant number at the bottom of the estimate. Cash to close had increased 21%, close to $5,000. And we're like, you said a couple hundred. We're like, well, wow, that's never happened before. And so we didn't know what's going on? What do we do? And we thought we just pulled the plug on it. Maybe we interpreted things wrong or misguided. And we just started looking mm-hmm. around and. There's a whole backstory, which I don't have 5 minutes to tell you, but for the better part of 6 years, we really tried to move to North Carolina and just for whatever reason could never do it. And on a whim, there was a job that popped open at Knightdale, North Carolina, which is just outside of Raleigh. It's for a school resource officer. Now, 3 years ago, a school resource officer position opened in Marana, and I didn't apply for it and found myself in it anyway, and God blessed everything that we did through that. And at the time, we didn't understand why. It made no sense. You know, God, what was that about? 2 years, you'd absolutely blessed us, and then we were out and onto something else, and it was really bizarre. Well, fast forward to a couple weeks ago, and it made sense why. This job opened up, and I really wasn't going to apply for it, especially when the agency told me we've never, ever hired an out-of-state lateral, ever. Why are we talking then? But they called us, and they were very interested in us, and they invited us to fly out before the position closed, and they took a 12-week process and condensed it down to 4 days. We're talking a written, a physical, an oral board, a psych test, a polygraph, medical evaluation, handgun qualification, daytime and nighttime, obstacle course, you name it, they threw us through it in a matter of 4 days. Mm. At the end of 4 days, they made it a job offer. But what the interesting thing was is the chief of police, he says, you know, I don't know why I'm looking at your resume. He says, I just got a gut feeling about it. I don't know where it's coming from, but I've got a gut feeling about this. And then we sat in the oral board and told him our story. And something, as I'm in the oral board, talked to him about what's going on in Red Rock, talked to him about Village Church, mm-hmm. talked to him about how a group of people from Sacramento disadvantaged themselves for the betterment of a community and how they led by example, and we feel called to do the exact same thing. Tell him about that. And so I did. And then, of course, I didn't get a call back after the oral board. And I went, oh, gosh, like, what did I do? And they said, we're sorry it took so long to call you back, but, you know, we just were all dumbfounded by your explanation because, you know, and this is the chief, couple captains, HR director, and they said, you know, we just can't believe how eerily similar it is to our story. And they were explaining mm-hmm. to me about how Knightdale is an agency of transplants. A bunch of people who were very successful in their agency that couldn't figure out why, but all of a sudden they were here in Knightdale. And after the whole process, the chief of police called me into his office and we were sitting down talking. He said, I'm just going to be honest with you. He says, I think God's doing something here in Knightdale. I don't know what it is, but I think God's doing something here. And I'm very excited about what's about to happen. I told you, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And, you know, we were singing about how, you know, God reaches into the darkness and how mm-hmm. God restores your past, restores everything. And one thing my mom was talking to me about is we've been absent the last couple of months trying to get everything organized. And there was a teaching a couple of weeks ago about how God is, if you just put your feet into the water, and God's way up the river, way upstream, working things on your behalf. And she kept telling me, you need to listen to this. And I was like, Mom, I've got 1,000 things to do. And she finally says, okay, I know you haven't listened to it, so I'm just going to tell you. And she started telling me about that, how God is so far ahead of you. You just, because I was freaking out. And, you know, I wish I could say I have it all. I don't. I'm freaking out. And it was just real. It was just real stress, real anguish. And she's like, you need, God has this. Let me tell you how God had this. You know, if you got anybody who's moved across the country, you know how expensive it is. And how God, if he's going to call you to do something, he's put things in place. As a police officer, we have to pay into the public safety retirement system. We don't have a choice. And when we signed a contract, when I got hired in 06, it was, we will contribute at 7.5%. Well, in 2011, mm-hmm. when the market crashed, through increments, we ended up paying at 11.5%. Well, that got challenged in court at the end of last year, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, no, that's unconstitutional, and ordered the public safety personnel retirement system to pay restitution to the officers. It's going to be a check in the amount of $9,100.
Wow.
Now, why is that important? Our last day with Miranda PD on the payroll is July 14th. My first day on the payroll with Knightdale is July 29th, which means we were going to miss the July 28th paycheck. Guess when the payout's going to be? July 28th. God, 6 years before we even knew there was an issue, set up a savings account for this mm-hmm. moment in time. You can't make that up. It's just, it's God doing what God does. God doesn't call the qualified individual. He qualifies. Mm-hmm. You're qualified because you're called.
Yep.
And so every single person in this room has a calling. Some are living it. Some are going to live it. Some are trying to figure out what it is. Just know that God already knows what it is. He's equipped you. He's going to, and things that you're lacking, he's going to equip you with. He's done that with us, mm-hmm. and we're so excited. And some of you guys have been praying for us and sending us well wishes. And guys, we thank you that from the bottom of our mm-hmm. heart. We thank you for that. And you know, we just thank you that Cody and Ashley gave us a chance to share our story. We hope that mm-hmm. it glorifies God in some way, because without him, like I said, that none of this would be possible. And he did in 3 weeks what we couldn't do in over half a decade.
Right.
So
amen. Awesome. Thanks, guys. So we're going to pray over you first. So a couple things I want to say. God is good, and he has a plan, and we try and go along, and then he redirects, right, sometimes. He knew this from the beginning, and so we are so excited for Cole and Angela. We want to pray for them. I also want to say we're still planting a church in Gladden Farms. So I know some of you have had that question. It's just they're planting North Carolina, and we're still going to go forward with Gladden Farms. So we really believe this is what's going to happen in our church. God is going to call people and do things, and we're excited to be a part of it. So I want to pray for them. So I'm going to ask our leadership maybe to come forward, if you could, if there's a few of you in here. And we're just going to lay hands on these guys. Why don't you come right here in the middle? And what we kind of like to do, if you are sitting, you want to stretch your hand out as if you're praying over them as well. You guys come in the middle. We'll lay hands on you. Stretch your arms. Matt, would you pray for them? Yes. Here's the microphone. There you go. It's on.
God, you are so good. Thank you for the Hunter family. Thank you, mm-hmm. Father, for giving them a clear direction, Father. Yes, thank you for that. What we would see as random giant paycheck coming in, Father, we just glorify you for that. God, we have that similar story, and it's just amazing to see something like that happen. And God, I thank you for them. I pray that you would bless them as they go out and as they move across the country. God, I pray that you would keep them safe. I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit.
Yes, God.
Lord, if they're in a desert time where they're just kind of wondering what is going on, Father, as they pursue you and pursue church planting, whatever you have for them, Father, I ask that you would give them just that clear vision. Father, I pray that you would give them joy. Thank you for the connections that we have made with them, God, that we can follow their story online and just see what's going on and how you're going to move, Father. Thank you so much again for them and for bringing them here and just intertwining us together, Father. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your goodness and, again, just for providing this way for them, God. Mm-hmm. And we just lift them to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you. Yes. God is good. And aren't you encouraged by the bravery, right, of people to go out and be sent out to plant churches? I love it. And I love that we get to be a part of that as a church. We are going to start our new series today. So if you want to open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, it will be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible section in our app. If you have that, you can open up there. And I am so excited for this series. And so this is called Set Free. Okay, and so we talk a lot about freedom in our church. We talk a lot about transformation, life transformation. A lot of you have experienced freedom. We're all about it. We're starting Celebrate Recovery, which is at the very heart of that is the essence of Christ's ability to set us free. And so we're going to go through this series, and we're going to talk specifically about a three-letter word that we don't like to talk about very often, which is sin. Okay, so sin. So we talk here at Village Church, we say, you know, God can help us overcome brokenness or, you know, different things. And brokenness is a myriad of things, right? But we want to focus in this series, say, how do we get out and how do we have victory over sin in our lives, over the things that cause us harm, that separate us from God, that hurt our families and hurt the world around us. And so I want to first say to you that every single one of us has struggled with sin. Can you raise your hand if you have struggled, if you know you're not perfect? How about that? If you know you're not, okay. Every single human being, there's not one person, unless you're just like a true narcissist, that would say, I am perfect. It's never my fault, right? I'm going to hand this to you, Sam, because it's fallen off my thing. Thank you. So every single one of us can identify with this. We know who we are, right? When I'm alone, I know sometimes the words that I say or the thoughts that I think or the things that I do when nobody's around. I know who Ashley Jennings is, and you know who you are, right? You know what you struggle with and what that looks like in your life. And what's amazing is that Jesus has given us victory over sin, right? We say that a lot in the church. Jesus gives us victory over sin. But what does that look like? What does that mean, really? How do we take hold of that for our lives? That's what we're going to look at in this series. I'm really excited to go through it with us. I believe that you are going to have victory in your life. Maybe it's something big you're struggling with, or maybe even just some small things that you just need to have truth poured over. So I'm going to read Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. You want to read along with me. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so we see right there that the truth that this author is trying to pull out is that Jesus led the way to victory over sin. Jesus, it's all through Jesus. Without Jesus, we cannot have a conversation about overcoming sin in our lives. Do you understand? Because that conversation would look a lot like, you just need to try harder, right? Have you ever, has anyone ever tried to lose weight, right? And like keep motivation going, right? And I know like a few of us have been successful at it, right? I look at a couple of you. I know you've been successful at it. But like for me, I'm like, what's the deal? Like I'm 30 years old and I still can't figure out how to try harder to want to eat salad all day, every day. Like what is it, you know? So without Jesus, it's just relying on our own motivation, which sometimes we can do for certain things, but I know that motivation comes and goes, right? I know there's some seasons of my life where I feel disciplined, I feel good, I feel like I'm trying hard, and there's a lot of seasons where when the hard things come, you know, push comes to shove, I don't have the motivation there because I'm a human being, and your motivation comes and goes, right? So without Jesus, we cannot have a conversation about victory. Do you understand that? Without Jesus, I know because I've experienced life before Jesus, and I would have said, I'm a really good person, trying really hard to make a name for myself or be successful or be strong, you know, overcome something my parents couldn't, whatever, right? I know I've been there, and I'll tell you what, there is no victory, true victory over sin without Jesus. We cannot have a conversation about it without him in the mix. Without Jesus, this is interesting. Have you ever heard someone in the church say, once a sinner, always a sinner? Have you ever heard that before? Like, you're just a sinner. We're all sinners. We're all just going to sin, right? I don't know if I believe that truth. I want you to know. Because when I read the New Testament and I read about Jesus and what he brings to us and the power and the victory that is instilled in us to overcome sin, I don't know that it's okay to always just say, you know, we're all just sinners. We're all just a mess all the time. We're just going to be that way our entire lives. And I think we've sometimes in the church get misled there, right? Like we just think like I'm a sinner and this is just who I am. I've settled into this is my humanity. With Jesus, it says here very clearly, throw it off, right? With Jesus, there's a different story. There's victory for us. So we have to include him on the conversation. When we invite Jesus into the conversation, we can listen to Jesus' words. He said to his disciples, be holy as I am holy. He said that. Be holy as I am holy. I mean, isn't that just crazy? A charge to human beings. The Son of God to say that to humans. But we can read that with confidence and know that is something that can happen in my life because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So I want to ask this question today. How do we experience victory over sin? How do we begin to take hold of that? And I think this verse really outlines it well for us. So the first thing we see is consider who has gone before you. Okay, the first thing it says here is, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So this is the reason, right? Like this is where he says, now you need to know who has gone before you so that you can have victory over sin. In the chapter before, in chapter 11, this author has gone through all the heroes of the faith, right? He's walked through, you can go read it on your own time, all the Old Testament heroes, all the people, you know, that have exercised faith to the very end of their lives. And he says, now, therefore, since those people, a cloud of witnesses is surrounding you, now go on to have victory over sin. You know, I think it's really interesting. I get this picture of like, I'm in a stadium. I don't know why. I just really always want to be an athlete, but I'm 5 foot and short legs. It's just hard. But I get a picture of me in a stadium about to run a race, and there are people in the crowd that have ran that race before me, and they've won, right? And they are cheering me on, and they're saying, go, right? Go for it. I think that's the picture that he's giving here. There have been people that have gone before you. Now, how does that help us overcome sin? So I want to just say this to you. Sin is never just about you. I'm going to say it again. Your sin is not just about you. And I want to say that because sometimes I think that we get in this mentality of, yeah, I have some things, but no one really knows about it. It's between me and God, right? It's just between me and God. He knows. No one else really knows. It doesn't really affect anybody else. It's just kind of me and God and the things that I struggle with, and He knows, you know, and whatever, where we have an understanding, right? We have a open conversation about those things. But I really believe that sin is not just about us. It's not just between you and God. And He makes that evident here in this scripture, right? He says there are other people. There are other people around you. Now, that could be just the reverence of knowing that there have been people that have gone before, right? There have been people that have been faithful, that have led to other generations that have been faithful, that now lead to me. Now, I don't know about you, but I wonder sometimes in preparing this message, I thought, you know, I don't know if my grandma was a believer or if she ever prayed for me, but I wonder about her mom. I wonder, because my grandma did have some spiritual understanding in her life, and I wonder, like, my great-grandparents, who I never met, I wonder if they prayed for us, right? For their legacy, for their children, for their people. And that's, like, the closest thing that I can think of. And maybe you have a parent that is a believer, and you know that that person has prayed for you, and that you're the fruit of people that have gone before, right? And we can go all the way back, right? He talks about Moses and Abraham, all these people thousands of years ago that have gone before us. And in reverence, right? In reverence, we should understand people have gone before us so that Jesus could come, so that He could give me victory. So certainly I think I can get it together, right? But also, there are people who need us to run the race, right? There are people that need us to finish well. Just as people in chapter 11 ran, the cloud of witnesses did it before us, we now are doing it before other people, right? So there's this cloud of witnesses that have gone before, but there's also this cloud of witnesses watching. I really truly believe that. You know, if I sin, even in private, do you think that that has an effect on my family? Do you think that that has an effect on my marriage or on my children or on the legacy of what's going to pass down from me to them into their kids, into their kids? Do you think that that has an effect? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sin is not just about me and God, right? Do you think that if I fell into sin as your pastor, that it would affect you? I think it would. You might not like cry yourself to sleep every night, right? But you might be let down a little bit by that, right? Like, there are people around you that are relying on you, and you might not be a pastor, but I'll tell you, we say here in this church, we are storytellers, right? The world is watching. The world is waiting for an answer to that cycle of brokenness in their lives, and you carry the answer in Jesus Christ. And they are waiting and they are watching you. They need you to finish your race. Consider who has gone before you. Consider who is around you. I want to ask you just personally, who in your life has gone before you? Maybe some of you can identify that, and it's very close to home for you. Maybe it's your mom, an aunt, an uncle, your grandma that has gone before, that has lived a life determined after Christ. And also, who are you going before? I want you to think of that. Who are the people in your life that you're going before? If we're going to have victory over sin, we have to first understand it's more than about me, because I have a lot of you know, I think grace for myself, and between God and I feel like, okay, He can work it out with me. But very rarely do when I sit in a moment, right, where I have a choice, am I going to kind of go down this road of what is against God would have for me? I have a moment there to remember, but there's other people. There's a world around me. It's not just hurt for myself, right? The second thing here, how do we experience this victory? We shed the extra weight and run. So it says in verse 1, therefore, since we're surrounded by that cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You know, it's interesting to me that he puts in there, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, right? It's like two different things. And I want to point that out because I think that there are things in our lives, you know, the Bible says everything is permissible, right? Because in Jesus, we have freedom. You can eat whatever you want, you know, whatever, okay? But not everything is beneficial for you, okay? And so we have to have wisdom to know sometimes there are things that are permissible, that it's okay, you know, I'm not breaking the law if I ... but it might not be beneficial for my life. And I think those are things that hinder. But he also says this interesting thing, and the sin that so easily entangles. It so easily entangles. You know, I believe that God has a plan for your life. I do. I believe he has a plan for my life, and it's something amazing that he has set out. Do you believe that for yourself, right? God is a plan for you. But I also believe that we have free will. I believe that we make choices, right, along the way, and we can get off track from that plan, right? Do you believe that? Do you understand what I'm saying? I know that because I was on one track, got off of it, right? Got back on, and God has grace. You know, we don't ruin things. He's so gracious over our lives. But I do believe that if we're gonna see God's plan for our lives come to fruition, we have to understand that things that hinder, extra weight, maybe it's even physical for you. I don't know. That can be a thing. But extra weight that we're carrying around and sin that so easily entangles hinders the plan for God's life. I can't go run a race or a marathon holding on to a bunch of weight. Like, I physically can't even run a marathon, but certainly not with weight on me. You know, it's interesting. I think sometimes we think, like, if I just take sin head on, right, I'm just going to take Satan head on, and then I'm going to tell him, like, you get out of here, and I'm not, you know, we just want to have a conversation with Satan sometimes. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So don't even entertain him. Don't even talk to him. I even hate talking about him right here, right? I don't even want to say that here, but it says resist him and then he will flee from you. And I think we need to understand, I know this is a hard thing to hear, but sin is like right at our feet, guys, as human beings, right? It's just kind of our nature to go that way. And so when it says that Jesus gives us victory over sin, that doesn't mean that now it's a cakewalk. Okay, it doesn't mean that, like, oh, now there's no temptation. I mean, it's amazing. I just raised my hand, accepted Christ, and I'm perfect, right? You know that. That's not right because you're a human, and you've experienced that in your life. And I believe that if we are not actively throwing it out of our lives, if we're not actively like, no, I'm resisting that. And there are different ways that we resist, and I'm going to talk about those in a minute, but we resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. We resist sin because it can easily entangle us. Do you understand that? You know, in verse 4 of this chapter, I didn't read that part, but he talks about, like, you have not, I don't know exactly how he says it, but he says, you've not bled for not, you know, for your sin. You've not been like, I'm fighting so hard to resist the devil that I'm like in pain. That's how hard I'm fighting. You know, what he's kind of telling the people is like, you need to ante up a little bit, like, right? Like, you need to fight harder. You need to just be active about it. Don't just let life happen to you. Resist it. Choose to throw it off of your life. You know, Mark 9 is a crazy passage. I told Cody we should preach on it, but I think it's too depressing for you. So you can go read it. But it basically says, like, this crazy thing. Like, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, your arm, cut it off, right? And he doesn't mean literally, okay? Please don't do that, okay? That's not what he says. I mean, that would be wild if you did that. But what Jesus, I mean, we would all respect you, but please, just for me, I have some morning sickness and the blood, and it's just a lot going on. But I will say this, there's something that Jesus is saying there that we need to catch on to, which is be fierce about cutting out sin in your life. I mean, he says it's better for you to enter heaven with one arm than to go to hell perfect, right? Like, don't be entangled by it anymore. Let it go. Cut it out. I'll tell you, I respect my husband so much because he's been in, we've all been there, but I'm not going to out him. He has been in cycles of sin in his life, and my husband is fierce about cutting that out. At some point, he'll be like, I'm just like so done with it that here's the deal. You know, so he, I'm going to just out you a little bit. But recently, he was like, I'm going to go talk to Cody. He went over to Cody. He was like, here's the deal, Cody. I'm struggling. A, B, C. I need you to pray for me. I want to be done. Like, he's so fierce about it. He always has been that way as long as I've known him. He's fierce about getting out of cycles to the point where he's like, I don't even care if I'm bawling like a baby on Cody's couch. Sorry. I'm going to get this out. I have kids and a family and a life to lead, and there's no way this is going to get in the way of my joy and what Christ died on the cross for me to have, right? That is the stance that we should take. Throw it off. Shed the extra weight and make a decision today. You know, it might not mean you're perfect at it, but just to say, you know what, I'm done. I love Michelle Raygoza. I'm just going to call her out right now. But if you're friends with her on Facebook, you saw this week we're starting Celebrate Recovery. And Celebrate Recovery takes a lot of transparency even to sign up, okay? It has to admit, I got some ish, right? That's what I call it. I've got some stuff. I don't know if that's appropriate or not, but that's fine. I've got stuff that I'm struggling with. And I am done struggling with it, so I'm going to go sign up at that thing, and I'm going to get some victory to figure out how do I overcome. And I love Michelle's post on Facebook because she said, you know what, I know it's Facebook. I'm just paraphrasing. I know everyone's seeing this, and that's the point. I'm going, right? Like, I've got some stuff, I've got some hurt, and I'm done with it. I'm done for the way it's affecting my life. That kind of tenacity is what we all need to carry, right? I want that. I want to dig down deep and be so fierce that I'm willing to humble myself, get in front of other people, share, I need some help. I'm not right here, and I need some help. To get on my knees before God and say, I'm sorry, and I'm done. I'm over it. And I love this passage that just says, throw it off. Get rid of it. It's just like this, stop it, you know, kind of verse. And I just love that so much that we have victory in Jesus to do that, to throw it off of our lives. You know, I just praise God that through Jesus we have the authority to be free. It's not just like we claim that and then it's, oh, next day I'm struggling. Like, we can actually say today in this service, I'm done. I'm done with those things, that cycle. And you know what? It might take a journey, but I'm getting out. I'm over it. We have the authority in Jesus to be free, to say no, to cut sin out once and for all, to be victorious. I want to ask you, what are you cutting out today? What are you cutting out today? And you know, for some of us, it's right there. We know this is exactly what needs to go. I've got this thing, I'm in a cycle, I've been struggling with it, and I don't feel good about it, I don't feel proud about it, it's definitely not what God has for me, it needs to go, I'm going to be done today. And some of us think, like, I'm doing pretty good, but there are lurking things, I think, that we need to ask God, open up my heart, show me, you know, I love David's prayer, you know, shine your big flashlight on my heart, is what he says, search me, know me. Point out every dark corner, crevice of my heart. Bring it out. We can do that today before God. What is hindering you that you're going to throw off, right? If we go into the Set Free series, we're going to talk so much about victory. Cody has had some amazing personal victory in the last few months, and he's going to share that with you, and it's going to be amazing. But I want to see us today kind of unleashed into the race that God has for us to cut those things out and to throw off everything that hinders. The last thing I think this verse is saying for how we get to experience victory over sin is that we lock eyes with Jesus and we don't look back, right? It says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, that's the author, right? The one that started this whole thing and the perfecter of your faith. And then he goes on to say, because Jesus did it. He did it. He had the goal in mind and he took the cross. He knew what that would entail and he just walked right through and he ran the race that God had for him. And so now we can do that. Lock eyes with Jesus and don't look back. You know, I just get this picture that, you know, instead of like getting all muddied up in the sin thing and trying to, you know, sometimes we have these self-help things like, if I just do this and I just do that, then maybe I'll have, you know, overcome this kind of thing in my life or this new fad diet. Yeah, I really believe food addiction is a real sin. All right, that's a real thing that I know that is sometimes part of my life. And I also know that Celebrate Recovery deals with that as well. But what I'll say to you is that I just get this picture. Sometimes we like, and I'm thinking about weight now, but sometimes we just want to get the new diet, right? What's the new thing on Pinterest that's telling me, you know, there's ridiculous things. I saw someone the other day post, what am I supposed to do here? It was like the best chocolate cake recipe next to lose 10 pounds in 10 days. You know, like, which one do I choose? Like, choose your own adventure. I would probably go chocolate cake. But, you know, instead of doing that, like, how do I lose 10 pounds in 10 days? Like, get it fixed quick or get over it quick. I get this picture of that we look away from all of that and we look into the eyes of Jesus and we fix our eyes on him and we're just walking, right? I just get this picture. We're moving forward and sometimes there's a little distraction over here, but I'm like, nope, it's in my peripheral, but nope, I'm looking at Jesus and I'm walking toward him every day of my life after him. Solely, that is my purpose. That is my full surrender to him, locking eyes with him. You know, I think sometimes we have Jesus in our peripheral, right? We're living life and Jesus is there, but he's kind of over on the peripheral vision, right? We haven't locked eyes with him. It's like, I'm just kind of living life and doing my thing. And, you know, sometimes I'll look at him and be like, how you doing? You know, and just keep going on with my life. And this is saying you have to set your eyes, fix your priorities onto Jesus if you want to have victory over sin. It's not enough to just know that he's there with you, right? Sometimes we know, like, he's always with me, right? It's not enough to just know that. We have to look at him. We have to look away from what we're looking at and look at him. And so maybe today you're going to do that. Maybe he's been in your peripheral and today you're like, you know what? I'm going to look at his face today for the first time. And you know what? That can be a brave thing for us because that means I got to admit I've been looking at the wrong stuff, right? I've been doing all this. This is what my life has looked like. And I'm going to look away from it and look into the eyes of Jesus instead. That's hard. It's humility. But I'll tell you, you will never regret it because in that comes victory over that in your life. It's amazing the grace of God, what he can restore, what he can fix. You know, you may have lived 60 years of your life one way and then you think you've ruined your whole legacy and then God can just, you look right at Jesus and he fixes the whole thing for you. I really believe that. I just baptized my dad like 3 weeks ago. My dad is 6'5". That was really fun. Baptizing him, it was good. Actually, it was so funny because we were in a pool, so he like got down and I put him under, but he was too heavy for me to get back up. So he was like, his feet were up and he's just floating, and I'm like, I can't do it. So then he comes up, he's like, man, you held me down there a long time. I'm like, man, it's like 54 years worth of, you know, shenanigans. So. But I'll tell you what, like my dad is such an amazing man, he really is, and he's lived 54 years of a life kind of in and out with Jesus in the peripheral. He's known Jesus but never looked at him before, and I'll tell you there was nothing like that moment for my sisters and my daughters and his parents who have gone before him to hear that testimony that day at his baptism that I'm done. I'm done with alcoholism. I'm done with pain pill addiction. I'm done with sin in my life, with managing my money horrendously. I'm just done, right? He's had broken marriages. He listed it all out. I'm done with it. And I have victory on Jesus, in Jesus, looking at him. And it was the most, I tell you, it was amazing that moment, what that was for us. And he's living it, the joy of walking with Christ. And that is something that is available to you as well. And I think some of us, even we think like, oh, well, maybe he wasn't a Christian. I think sometimes Christians, we accept Christ and then Jesus still stays in the peripheral, right? It's a different thing to say, no, now you're Lord of my life. I've tried it my way. You're Lord of my life. I'm looking at you face to face. You know, today might be the day that you look at his face for the first time. It might be the day that you even invite him into the peripheral for the first time that you think like, yeah, I might need this Jesus guy. I'm not sure if I want to look at him yet, but, you know, I'm going to bring him into the peripheral vision. And today might be the first time in a long time that you just look right back at him. I know that God has that for you. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. And I just want to close with this thought. I want to tell you, you can overcome sin in your life. Did you hear me? You can overcome sin in your life. I want you to get any other thought out of your mind that maybe a church has told you or someone has told you that you're just once a sinner, always a sinner, settled into this is just who I am, cycles and cycles, and it is what it is. I've just settled into who I am. You can, by Jesus Christ, overcome sin, even the ones that feel impossible. Do you hear me? Even the ones right now that you're thinking, Ashley, I want to believe you, but if you only knew how deep that goes, like if I only could sit down with you for 10 minutes and just tell you, like, it's deep in there. It's so deep, and I don't know how to get out, and it feels like it's part of me now. I'll tell you what, it's not part of you. In Jesus' name, it's not a part of you, and you have victory over it in him. So even the ones that feel impossible, the maybe addictions or just habits that you're in, that you've been in forever, it's not impossible for you. Also, I think today is a day that you're going to make a commitment to run the race that God has set out for you. Right? And I know sometimes we raise our hands a lot in this church and we say, you know, I want to be who God has asked me to be. But this is a different kind of commitment. This is, no, I'm not I want to be, I'm doing, I am, right? I am going to run this race. Not just I want to go on a journey to talk about thinking about trying to run the race that God has for me, right? No, just I am. I'm going to run it. I don't know what that looks like for you today, but I do know that there is victory ahead for you. There is courage ahead for you. There is bravery. There is legacy ahead for you today. No matter how old you are, no matter what that looks like, I know that he has that victory. I believe God's word. I've seen it in my own life. There's people sitting in these seats that I look at and I say, I know your story. You had victory. You had victory. I know it. And so it's available for you as well. So I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads. And we like to do just a response time at Village Church, where we just give you a moment to respond to God. And this is just for you, okay? So if I ask a question and you think that's for me, I'm gonna ask you, would you just raise your hand? Make a moment out of it. Give it to the Lord. If you're hearing this today and you're realizing, you know, I never really thought about the fact that sin was not just between me and God. It's also about other people as well, people that have gone before and the people that are looking on toward me. And you want to make a commitment today for those people to look at Jesus. Would you raise your hand? Awesome. That's great, guys. I'm going to ask you this too, and this is brave of you to raise your hand, but maybe some of you are struggling with sin in general and you're hearing this, throw off everything that hinders, cut it out, and you want to say today, I am. I'm just going to raise my hand and be brave and say, I want it out. Thank you. Thank you. Raise your hand. Awesome, guys. That's so great. So great. We're going to pray for you in a minute. And when you hear me talk about locking eyes with Jesus and never looking back, and we look at God's word and it says, fix your eyes on him. And we talk about the peripheral, and maybe you haven't looked at him in a while, and today you say, I'm going to look at him. I'm going to look right at his face, no matter what it takes, no matter what I have to give up. It's not worth it anymore to keep him in the peripheral. Would you raise your hand? That's awesome. One last question. If there is anyone in here that has never started a relationship with Jesus, that's you've never began one, and you are hearing this, and it's speaking to you this morning, you realize, I want that victory. I want that opportunity. Would you raise your hand? Thank you. It's awesome, guys. We're going to have Chris just pray over us this morning as we go into this time of worship. And I want to encourage you, look into his face during this time. There are a lot of people that raise their hands a lot all over this room today to say, you know what, I'm struggling with sin, I want it gone. Or I need to consider there's more than just me here at stake. Or I'm going to look at Jesus for the first time, maybe in a long time, or for the first time ever. Use this time, it's for you. We're going to sing these songs. Every song is set up specifically for you to respond to God in this way about this message today. And so use this time. And that means you can sit and sing. You can stand and sing. You can journal. You can, you know, I know it's a hard floor, but you can get on your knees if you need to. Sometimes that posture is helpful. Whatever you need today, this time is for you and God, for you to claim victory in Jesus.
Lord, we just thank you for the word today, for the message. And we just fix our eyes upon you, Jesus, right now. Lord, we look to you and what you did on the cross for us, God. Lord, you did it because you love us so much, God. And you wanted us to be close to you, Lord. It was your joy to redeem us. It was your joy to set us free, Lord. So I pray that today we would be able to see you for who you are and see how much more amazing you are than our sin. That as we look to you, even in our weakness, God, you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. You would empower us. Lord, that's not just about saying no to sin, God, but it's about saying yes to you, and that we want to live a life that pleases you, that honors you, not only for our sake, but for our family's sake, for the lives of those that you've put around us. And so we're just grateful. We're just thankful, God. So we just praise you that we have this grace to come boldly before your throne. And I just pray that every person here, God, would receive a new measure of grace, God, to overcome sin, to overcome the things that would steal, that would kill and destroy our life, God. Thank you.